White Babies, and welcome once again to Poker in the Ears. You're going to find out why I'm not being quite as loud as usual in just a moment. I am Uncle Daddy Joe Stapleton. He is my work wife, James Hardigan.
Happy International Fun at Work Day, Joe.
James, isn't that every day for us, huh?
I'd like to say every day is fun, but I would be lying. By the way, the photograph that was used to illustrate International Fun at Work Day on the website was one of those classic photo library kind of with like people in shirts pushing their colleague in a chair on wheels looking really excited. And it's like, you're not having fun at work. You're just being idiots.
They're not even having fun taking that photo.
No.
Stock photo models. Anyway, James, I promise you, you're going to have fun at work today. Coming up on today's show, it is our first ever Irish Poker Open preview show.
And you are already there, Joe. You're actually where we're going to be commentating from.
That's correct. And the players are like not far on the other side of this curtain next to me, which is why I kind of gave a subdued hello, my babies, because
okay.
I'm just a little embarrassed about that. For the first time, the Irish Poker Open is part of the family, and we are going. I am here. James will be here tomorrow. So who better to talk about poker in the Emerald Isle than the only Irish person we could think of, Fintan O'Reilly Hand. I don't think that's his real middle name.
The other obvious person to go for would be the reigning champion, Steve O'Dwyer. But Steve was on the podcast not that long ago, towards the end of last year when we previewed EPT Prague. So let's give Fintan some time in the sun, especially as he's literally on the posters for this year's Irish Open.
Fintan is on the posters, and he is in your ears later in the show. This is not going to be the run-of-the-mill EPT, by the way. In fact, because I had a chance to play a little poker here last night, which was pretty cool. And I'm not going to say anything yet, but I'm going to save it for later. James finally saw John Wick. John Wick 4. So we've got a poker scene to break down.
There is a poker scene in the movie, yes.
From a poker movie. I went to WrestleMania. This week's superfan, Carrie, has challenged me to a quiz based on Party Down, which you guys know I have been talking about for the last couple of months. So lots to do on today's show.
Okay, well, let's get straight to it then, because obviously, you know, we can't keep Fintan waiting, and we'll talk about why we can't keep him waiting when we've stopped him from waiting and we've actually talked to him. John Wick 4. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I did not love it.
Oh.
And I think there are two reasons for that. Number one, this movie has absolutely no right being nearly 3 hours long.
Disagree.
Secondly, every movie in the series so far has kind of brought something original. This felt like a little bit of a retread of the third movie. He's on the run again. Everyone's after him. And the price on his head is going up every 5 minutes.
I can't disagree with that part. I did not have an issue with the length of the movie.
There's not enough plot to sustain that duration. Don't get me wrong. There are some spectacular set pieces in this movie. But after a while, it does get a little bit relentless.
I thought that the fatigue of it is part of it. That, like, you sort of go through the same exhaustion just watching him as he is going through. I mean, some of the scenes are hilariously long.
Yes.
Like, stupidly, absurdly long, and I, for one, was into it.
And they have the narrative of a video game level, in the sense that there were 20 guys, but they don't all come at him at once. There'll be three come into the room, and he has to dispatch them.
Yeah.
Then he moves on a bit, and the next three appear, until you get to the end boss. I mean,
Loved it. The one issue I had, which is a bit of a spoiler, so if you want to tune out, is the blind guy. I'm like, come on. Like, it is essentially Daredevil. I don't understand why you would make a character blind if he can do all of the things a seeing person can do. That part made no sense to me whatsoever. That was the only thing I did not like about this movie.
And the weird thing is, the last movie that I saw Donnie Yen in was Star Wars Rogue One, where he also played a blind character.
Is he blind in real life?
No.
Oh, interesting.
I know, it's just a weird coincidence. So let's talk about the poker scene, Joe, which obviously does not have any real massive significance to the plot. And is basically just a chance to show off that one of the characters is a mechanic who basically deals everyone an absolute monster. And he himself has the winning hand.
Well, let's set it up.
Okay.
He, He says we're going to play one hand of poker, and whoever wins gets to live.
Correct.
And he deals a hand of five-card draw.
Because it's the movies, and the movies are obsessed with five-card bloody draw.
Right, and I think in the context of this movie, it didn't bother me that it was five-card draw, especially when you find out what this guy is up to. It's not a real poker hand. There's no actual betting in it. There's no anything, right? It's more like a magic trick that this guy pulls off.
Well, here's the thing. It was one of three moments in the movie where I thought, this is almost like a homage. It's taking a cue from For a Few Dollars More.
Oh, see, I saw it as taking a shot at Bond movies.
No, to me, it was very much like the scene in For a Few Dollars More where Clint Eastwood deals the hand and the winner gets to live. And the other two callbacks of that movie are the locket with the song that plays and the duel at the end. These are all kind of like subtle little nods. And obviously, like that whole kind of man with no name, spaghetti Western Leone mythology is an influence on the John Wick movies. So sure. I thought that those were just kind of three little subtle tributes to that film.
Fair enough. I thought that they were maybe taking a shot at the scene from Casino Royale when you see the way it plays out.
The way the hands, each one is better than the other. And the guy, obviously, John Wick has aces and eights. He has the dead man's hand. Someone has a royal flush. You think, well, they must have won. But
they
no.
can't lose. Turns out.
They can because the villain's got five deuces because ducks do indeed fly together.
Yes. So poker scene, quite ridiculous. Now, here's the cool thing about the poker scene, James, is the fella that plays the big fat guy in the scene.
Yes.
Is a what's really cool about the John Wick movies is they give a lot of stuntmen sometimes like more screen time than they usually get. And the fella that plays that guy is an English stuntman who is now the star of his own action movies. And here's the tie-in. He was the star of the movie that Harry Kirby, our guy that works on productions with us, directed.
Wow, that's a nice little connection. I like
that was a cool thing for me. And his character
is he wearing a fat suit there?
Yes, the man's in very good shape in real life, right, and is like a very talented martial artist.
Yeah.
So
that character, by the way, I was very confused by. It was almost like he'd wandered in from a different movie. But no, overall, as I said, enjoyable. I just didn't have the same love for it that I had for some of the other movies in that series. So talk to me about WrestleMania, because you know I just don't get this. This bizarrely was on my radar. You wouldn't expect it to be, but I do follow a few San Francisco 49ers accounts, and I believe George Kittle was involved in some stupid publicity stunt there.
George Kittle was like right in front of me. We had insane seats. Our seats were... So the drawback was this, was that we were on the floor. We're in the second back on the floor, second row in. So, like, pretty cool, and we were right on the aisle. Now, what was cool about it was how close we were and how well we could see. What sucked about it, and I actually complained to SoFi Stadium, was that the security guards stood right in our line of sight almost the entire time. It was really frustrating. And where there are security guards, there are people coming up to ask security guards questions. So at a certain point, it was kind of rude, but we were like, can you sit on the floor, please? So at certain points, they did sit down on the floor so we could see. That a little sucked a little bit. But what was really cool and what I wasn't prepared for was that the energy of the arena was not only exciting, like at not quite Super Bowl levels energy, like everyone just sort of going crazy, but the attitude there. Everyone was very kind. Everyone got it. Everyone was like, we know it's silly. We know it's wrestling. But everyone just like bought into this shared, I don't know if you want to call it delusion because that's almost too insulting for it, but like just this shared sense of community. Everyone had T-shirts, different T-shirts. Everyone was singing the songs, doing the catchphrases. It was really, really sweet. I just don't know how to describe it. It was very innocent. No, there were no fights. No one like it was unlike anything I'd ever been to. And to explain that, I was sitting there thinking, I think James would have really liked this. It was impossible to be there and not let it overtake you. That just sort of sense of camaraderie that everyone had. You throw into it the pageantry of it, the lights and the sounds and the explosions and then the athleticism. Now, everyone says wrestling is fake, which it is, right? They're not actually fighting each other, but the performance of it is spectacular.
It is performance.
Really, really, really great.
It's a form of entertainment, and I appreciate that people find it entertaining. It does nothing for me, but I would have loved to have met George Kittle.
no regrets at all. The one cool thing about where we were sitting was that that's where all the celebrities were coming in, so I did get to see George Kittle. I saw Aziz Ansari as he walked in, a couple of boxers who I didn't recognize. Now, I'm throwing this into this section because something that really irritated me is I put up a tweet. I just wanted to show off a little bit, saying like, hey, look how good my seats are at WrestleMania. And I did it with the caption, who do you think will win WrestleMania? And I had a lot of people answer that question with either Matt Berkey or Nick Airball. Well, and I was like, guys, come on. Can you just, like, I don't need,
Okay. Ironically, it's quite an apt analogy because I do think a lot of the animosity between these two is bullshit / hype. That's
I don't know. It
say.
Seems real to me. Now, maybe I'm just as dumb as like a 12-year-old wrestling fan.
Either way, and I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, I couldn't give a flying fuck about this.
I don't mind it. It is something that's happening in our industry. I'm a little bit interested in it. But for people to assume that I'm so interested in it that I would rather talk about that than the WrestleMania event I'm at, I found it really irritating. It doesn't take over my life to that degree. And the only reason I say I buy into it... it's because the insults they're lobbing back and forth at each other is really kind of embarrassing. How much they're sort of battling it out. So I would hope that it wouldn't be fake. Like, there's no way I would fake, like, you know, there's like they're throwing like a lot of, you know, suck my dick type shit. And I'm like, I would hope that you would have to be so enraged before you lower yourself to that level to say that kind of stuff to each other and not do it just for pageantry, for fakeness.
I'm not convinced. I think a lot of it is exaggerated. Anyway, I want to hear about you playing poker. So you arrived in Dublin yesterday?
Yesterday, yeah. I had the jet lag these days is hitting me pretty hard. I slept a little bit on the flight, but I landed. Luckily, Nikki, who works on our production team, made sure that my room was ready, so I got to go take a nap. I woke up, came over, registered for the Hendon Mob Championship. Now, they did free roll me in the event because they made me a bounty.
What is the Hendon Mob Championship?
It really is. They just kind of slapped their name on a small event. It's a 250-euro buy-in, a freeze-out, which was cool. So I didn't have to worry about like multiple bullets or like, you know, how to ration my bankroll for
this
event.
Is this the event that Roland's organizing?
Yes, correct.
Exactly. Has he got my award?
Ooh, I didn't ask about that. Yeah, but yes, no, he told me he does have your award. Yes. He told me that a couple of weeks ago that he would have it. And so, you know, they made me a bounty, which I'm like, okay, fine, but I see people who are bounties in these tournaments win them sometimes, so I'm like, why the hell not? So in the first level, I made a flush and got paid. I flopped a boat and got paid. I got an ace-queen versus ace-jack, and it held. I got an ace-king versus ace-queen, and it held. I did have one particular hand where there was a woman who raised under the gun. The big blind was 300, and she made it 2,100. And so I was like, it got around to me and I had ace king suited and I was like, man, I don't know. Like, I don't really want to get it in right now, but I can't fold ace king suited. So I was like, you know, if I just flat here, probably no one else is going to call for a 7x raise. So I did. And the flop came ace high and she shoved on me. And so I called it off with ace king and she had two jacks. And as you would expect, it wanted to be one of the main hands. Someone would 7x it with preflop. And immediately, jack on the turn. So I lost a huge pot there. And I felt bad because she apologized afterward. And she's like, oh, I know I played that bad. I'm like, honestly, I would never tell you played something bad. I don't really care. It's all good. Don't worry about it. And then we had a dinner break in the event, at which point, I made the biggest mistake of the tournament. I came back and I had about 20 big blinds. And I was like stealing here and there. And I got down to about 13 big blinds, doubled up. So I had 20 big blinds when this happened. I come back from dinner break and I had asked Roland during the dinner what my bounty was. And he was like, oh, your bounty is that they win their way into another event just like this one. Another time we do a Hendon Mob Championship. We're doing one in Bratislava. Okay. We're doing one in... a couple of places around the world. And then he says, we're doing one in Thunder Valley in July, and I think you're going to be there, Stapes. And I was like, yeah, I am planning on being there. He's like, well, if they go to that one, it's a $1,000 buy-in. So when I go to the table, I'm like, hey, I just want to, I don't want to hide the fact that I'm a bounty. I think that's not fair. So I get back to the table.
No, but you don't need to boast that you have a value of $1,000 on your head.
So what happened was I had like 18 or 19 big blinds. And right after I said that, like, yeah, and if you play Thunder Valley, thinking who was going to fly to fucking Sacramento, California from Dublin.
People don't use logic in these situations. They just hear $1,000 bounty and go for it.
Correct. So I shove ace deuce off suit, ace of clubs, deuce of spades from the button. And the guy in the big blind is like, who, by the way, said we had given him a nickname. He was on like the PCA stream or something. And now his friends all call him the thing we called him, which was like Tiny Dancer or something. I don't know. And he goes, ooh, for $1,000. And I'm like, wait. It's only $1,000 if you go to Sacramento. And he called me with queen four offsuit. And the flop came, I have ace deuce. The flop came ace, ace nine. And then it came running spades. And I lost to a four high flush when I had the deuce of spades. So I was really, really fucking pissed. But I did. Good game. Thanks for playing. Congratulations. Nice playing with you. Ba, ba, ba. Did all the thing. And obviously, you spotted my mistake right away. I should have just kept my fucking mouth shut.
That was mistake number one. And secondly, it was karma for coming up with a dumb nickname for this poor guy who's not been able to shake it off since. Well, look, as we've started talking about it, we may as well get into it properly. Let's talk Irish Poker Open 2023. And let's say a proper hello to our good friend and PokerStars team pro, Fintan Hand. Hello, Fintan.
What's going on, lads? Thank you very much for having me on the podcast. I think it's my second time getting here, so I feel very honored.
Well, we just talked to you a couple of weeks ago when you saved the day coming in for the what was it, Scoop main event? WCOOP main event?
No, Sunday Million Anniversary, you eject.
Come on.
Jesus Christ, man.
Look, I'm not allowed to play any of this.
You don't know when Scoop is? You don't know when WCOOP is? Oh, my days.
I feel like Scoop is close. Anyway, Fintan, we played some poker last night. How did you get on in the Hendon Mob Championship?
Got knocked out within 25 minutes of sitting down, but I will say that the Irish Open is maybe the only tournament series in the entire world where when you get knocked out, it somewhat feels like a win.
Okay, I'm just going to cut straight to the chase. Everyone bangs on about the fact that the Irish Open is an event like no other. That it is a unique poker festival. Can you pinpoint what makes it so different? What makes it so special? What makes it unique? And is the answer Guinness?
The answer is always Guinness, no matter what the question is. But I couldn't pinpoint it exactly. It does somewhat feel to me as if it is the poker player's Christmas party. The buy-ins aren't as, say, extreme as if you were playing an EPT or at the PSPC with the super high rollers. And it has more back of a throwback community feel, not too dissimilar to what the UK IPT would have felt like.
Yeah.
So people can play. Like last night, myself and Joe were playing in a 250 euro tournament. I don't even know if there's a 250 euro tournament on the EPT schedule. I'm pretty sure that you're not going to get one.
Not just a 250 euro tournament, a 250 euro freeze out. You might find $250, 250 euro events in lots of places, maybe not necessarily on the EPT, but they're all unlimited reentry or two reentries per day type of things. Where, because obviously people like big guarantees, and this wasn't about that. This was like, we're going to play a 250 euro tournament and it's going to end when it ends. One day. And from what I understand is it ended around 6:30 in the morning last year. I haven't gotten word yet when it ended this year. Yeah, there were 100 more runners this year than they had last year. So
incredible.
Who knows? I will say that I was max annoyed because as I was leaving the dinner break, Fintan and GJ were like hanging out, having beers on the patio, and I lasted just long enough to miss that. I was like, I'll either bust real quick or I'll cash, and neither of those things happened. Hooray!
Oh, Joe. Obviously, we did talk briefly, Fintan, about the Irish Open when you came on the stream, and obviously we talked about it when we saw you in the Bahamas, and I know that from the moment that PokerStars announced that they were co-sponsoring alongside Paddy Power, there was a lot of excitement about this. And knowing that the numbers were going to be boosted this year by people qualifying via Stars as well as Paddy, and what Joe said just now is clearly proving true, there's a lot of bums on seats. There's a lot of feet on the ground. This looks like it's going to be a big series.
Yeah, I'm very, very excited to have such a prestigious tournament sponsored by PokerStars, as you mentioned previously, so close to my house, being able to walk down to it. But
I mean, do you literally live next door? Can you describe? I mean, are you exaggerating? Is it like kind of like a half-hour walk? Is it like a five-minute bus ride?
It's 1.2 kilometers, so, you know.
That's like nothing, yeah.
15-minute walk or so. It's like bang in the middle of the city center. I think it's great that Ireland is getting an opportunity for a big tournament like this, because obviously being so close to London, and then Europe has a lot of the main tournaments, it's hard to justify coming to Ireland for a big series. But I think anytime it happens, it's received so well, and the Irish people are so welcoming of people coming over to play, and they're just excited to like meet the likes of Sprague or whoever else will be coming over. So there's just a great feel around it. I can't pinpoint exactly why it feels so much fun, but it just does. As Joe said, like yesterday already, everyone's just sitting there catching up. I wish I could explain it better, but I just
so can't. Is whatever amount of rent you're paying to live in central Dublin worth it finally for you to be able to walk to this event?
It's impossible. It's impossible to say that the rent in the city center in Dublin is ever worth it. I'm very lucky that I'm able to live so close to the city center, but it's. Yeah, I just feel very lucky to have it in Dublin.
A more serious question is having the event right down the road from your house better or worse for you? Because I know when poker comes to town, or used to come to town to where I lived, I didn't like it that much. It was almost easier for me to travel to like totally be immersed in poker. Going home every night was kind of a ball ache. So how's that? How do you think that's going to work out for you?
It's a kind of tricky balance. The lads want me to be out every single night onto the early hours, but I do have a newborn child. And if I was off at a poker stop and, you know, Hannah wasn't there and my baby wasn't there, then I wouldn't be expected to be at home. But
right,
it's a little bit different. But I think that the good far outweighs the bad for me. Like, I lived in Malta for quite some time, so I wasn't here even when the Irish Open was on. So to have such a big tournament and to basically have a lot of my like friends and colleagues flying in and being able to go for food in my local spots and have my coffee in the morning, like I would love if every single poker tournament was in Dublin. I would love if they just had EPT Dublin six times a year. And I honestly don't think it would be a bad idea personally.
I'm guessing having the newborn whilst creating challenges also gives you an awesome excuse why no one is allowed round, right?
No, I was going to say, has anyone invited themselves over yet? Because I would come if I was invited for dinner.
I tried to bring Adam McCullough back yesterday because I support a football team, Aston Villa, that are not as popular as Manchester United and Liverpool. So when we're playing, we're not always on the TV. And I wanted to go watch it last night. And Adam was giving out to me for calling it early on the night. I was like, look, Adam, you can come back. He's met Hannah in the Bahamas. They had a great time. They spent some time drinking together when I was on babysitting duties. But yeah, I mean, look, if I bring back like 20 people for an after party, I might be single, but it will be a very it will be a very good night, and I know that Joe will have a night to remember. So would it be worth it? Probably not. Will I do it? Also probably not, but never say never.
Maybe. Just maybe.
I want to kind of go back in time a little bit and ask about your history with the Irish Open, Fintan. Obviously, we know you made the final table in 2017, which was the year that Griffin Benjert won the Irish Open, as he reminds
us. Hasn't mentioned it.
Every single time.
Still calls himself defending champ, by the way.
Because yeah, that's just...
Yes.
That's just literally inaccurate. Steve O'Dwyer, by the way, is the legitimate defending champion, and I believe is there and looking to defend his title.
Confirmed is there. Seeing him, I also remember last year, obviously not covered by Stars, so you might not remember, but he had an obnoxious amount of chips on the final table to the point where he could legitimately go all in every single hand from five or six players remaining, and was never in doubt that he was going to win it. My good friend Kev, that you would know, actually got second in a Kev Clean, who has been on EPT broadcast in the past, one that actually still goes on the PokerStars channel regularly in London, of me in the shamrock suit. He got second in it the year before Griffin won it. And I obviously made that final table and I was hoping to one up him and have the massive score. That was actually just before I got signed by PokerStars. And I remember when I bust that final table, I was in the car with my dad, and like, no one really enjoys busting the final table. But my dad said to me, he was like, oh, you know, if you had won that, that Focus Stars might have actually sponsored you. And I was like, fuck that. This is...
Dad.
This is not the time. I don't remember any... Like, if you ask me for a bus out hand of the Scoop Final Table, EPT Online, WCube, whatever it is, I could never tell you. I just don't remember them. I know some people have a like great photo memory for it. I just... I'm done. I'm over it.
Move on.
Gone. But I played a hand extremely badly on the final table of the Irish Open. And that one hurts a lot, to the point where I was staying at my mum's for a couple of nights after, and she caught me sleepwalking, walking around the house, looking for my chips. I was just like, where are my poker chips?
Oh my goodness,
where
Fintan.
Are they? And my mum had to like be like, Fintan, you are first of all, you were sleepwalking, you're out of that tournament, but that's how stressful it was that I messed up on home soil.
What did you do?
Reach through the screen and give you a big hug right now.
I am a notorious sleepwalker, so it wasn't that. Like,
it wasn't your first time sleepwalking.
No, but my first time looking for poker chips or being actual stressed out.
What was the hand? What did you do?
There's a well-known Irish player called Chris Dowling. And it's just an ICM punt. I'm not going to bore you with the nerdy details of the numbers, but it was just a bad call. Just, it happens. And you make mistakes and it just hurts a little bit more when it was at home. That was
because it hurt that much. Has that prevented you from making future ICM mistakes?
No.
Seems like no.
It should have. You think I would learn my lesson, but no, I've definitely had a few moments.
So was 2017, was that the first year you played?
I've actually only played it once.
Wow. Which, so you're one for one in final tables.
I'm one for one in Irish Open final tables, but I've been at the Irish Open many, many times. It was back in the day when I worked in a casino that's now closed called the Fitzwilliam, and I would be working, so I wouldn't be able to play. Probably wouldn't have been able to afford to play main events because it used to be a 3K as well. And I would spend my evenings there at the party atmosphere, at the afters, playing some cash games, but I actually have only ever had the opportunity to play it once because every other year I lived in Malta, then there was the lockdown and it wasn't sponsored by Stars. So it's actually my second time ever playing it, and obviously would love to go back to back. And I consider myself, like Griffin, a defending final tablist.
Right, okay. If he can use that line, I guess you can bastardize it as well. So you are literally the poster child of this year's Irish Open. So what stuff have you got going on? This is a bit of a weird one because I'm asking you to look ahead to something that's happening today, and by the time people listen to this podcast tomorrow, will have already happened.
Well, I would like to know the details of this thing because I want to play it. So let's
the list of names. I put your name down. I think you probably could have walked in, but we're having a meetup game in a couple of hours at the time of this. And if you're listening to this and you're in Dublin and you're listening tomorrow, on the 5th of April, we're having a meetup game.
And no one listening to this show, other than the people producing it, will hear this before the meetup game has happened.
Okay, perfect. So there's a meetup game happening. It is approximately 80 to 90 players who qualified online, plus a few of the Team Pro and the Paddy Power Pros. I think GJ is going to jump in. Sprag does have day 2 to 5K, but he might hop in. And a few others. It's a €10,000 prize pool. Apparently, I can say this because if it didn't happen, then I'll be fine. But apparently there'll be refreshments, few drinks, and some food provided. And just a very good opportunity to meet members of the community that have honestly, I feel kind of bad because I lived in Malta. I was very detached from the Irish poker community. I was never at these like community meetups or just like, you know, like the 150 buy-ins or the €200 buy-ins. So it's a really good opportunity for me to put a face to a lot of names that have actually just been supporting my stream for the last 5-6 years. So I'm really, really excited for it. I hope that anyone except for Spraggy wins, because Spraggy has a ridiculous record in free rolls. That man comes in and tries harder in the free rolls than he does in any single serious tournament. It's outrageous.
Funny because last night in the 250 event, he was like, I was like, are you playing? I was texting him. He goes, yeah, we'll see for how long. And I was like, treat it like it's a 2500. And it turns out that was the wrong advice to give him. I should have told him,
treat it like a free roll.
Every
tournament that we do, the little tournaments between poker pros, any free roll in our home games. Like, I'm pretty sure at one point myself and Spraggy ran a home game and there was a platinum pass up top and Spraggy was down to the last like 15 players or something and was legitimately trying to steal someone's dream when he would have been sent anyway. He was an awful human being.
He could just awful, he would just torch his being. Second one in front of whoever finished the runner up.
He loves it. He lives for it. The petty king.
I was actually torn because in an ideal world, I would have traveled to Dublin today and I would have been around for this game this afternoon. Obviously, I've got major FOMO after Joe talking about the game last night as well. But I will be arriving tomorrow. And I think there might be a staff tournament on Thursday evening. So it sounds like I am going to get to play some poker. Let's talk about the streaming schedule. And obviously, Fintan, I appreciate you're there to play mostly, but maybe, just maybe, if things don't work out for you,
love to be in the commentary booth. Absolutely.
Fantastic. If you don't go 2-for-2 in Irish Open final tables, because we are going to be covering 4 days of this tournament on the PokerStars Twitch and YouTube channels. Now, we don't normally cover day ones. This is well documented, but we are making an exception for the Irish Open. Now, there are, I believe, 4 starting flights. We can only cover one of them. So day 1C, which is Good Friday, this coming Friday, which is the 7th of April, we will stream all of day 1C. Then we get to Saturday, day 2, Sunday, day 3, which is when they play down to the final table. And that final table will be streamed on Easter Monday.
I'm so excited for day 1 coverage. Go on.
So we are live, and bear in mind, as ever, cards up, so on a half-hour delay, so all times are 30 minutes after the start of play. So 12:30 local time, that's British Summer Time, on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The final table starts an hour later, so we are going to be live at 1:30 p.m. British Summer Time on Easter Monday. As well as Joe and myself, you've got Griffin Benger, defending Irish Open champion, and Nick Walsh joining us on commentary duties. Fintan's volunteering if he's available. I'm sure we got Spraggy, Tonka, loads of other people in town will be making guest appearances. Joe, am I right in thinking you have lined up a celebrity guest commentator?
Yes, my friend Michael Ian Black is living in Italy at the moment, and I convinced him it would be a cheap flight from Italy, which it was. It was like 60 euros, so he is going to come out, play some events at the Irish Open. I don't think he's going to play the main, so hopefully he can join us for some guest commentary in the booth. He said he's down for that. And look, I know they're going to be long streams. I got to get this off my chest, guys. Everything James just said is mostly true, except for one thing. James is not going to be doing commentary on day 1C because,
oh,
Jimmy, you are playing the Irish Open.
I figured this had gone away. You talked about this months ago and were making it this kind of like campaign that you were going to run where you were going to get me to play the... Because we'd heard nothing... Or I'd heard nothing for weeks. I assumed that this wasn't happening. I assumed that this wasn't a thing.
It is a thing. I made it happen. I might have tipped my hand a little bit. It wasn't. It was like a little hint of this happening months ago. But not only are you playing, James, you will be headlining the first feature table.
That's amazing.
Fuck off.
For at least the first 2 levels of day 1C,
oh,
because
God.
I know you'll be there on time,
no,
and I'm not
no,
sure.
Hold on a sec. Hold on a sec. You tell me I'm playing and I get excited. You tell me I'm going to be on the feature table, and now I'm shitting myself.
Yes.
I don't need the entire internet seeing how badly I play.
Okay,
oh, this is
but
be
wait.
Great.
There's more. There's also a surprise for
what
you.
Have you done?
And when I say you, I'm talking to you, the listener, right now. There are going to be free rolls during the Irish Open. And the further James goes,
oh God,
the more money they're going to let me dump into the free rolls. So
not only do I get the internet pouring over all of my nittish bad plays, but also I'm going to get shit if I don't go deep because they're going to miss out on free PokerStars money.
Yes. So on day 1 at 7 o'clock BST, that's the 7th, there's going to be a 10K free roll. It's password protected.
10K?
Yes. So make sure you listen for it on the broadcast. Then day 2, 7 p.m. British summertime on the 8th, if James makes it, is a 15K free roll.
Hold on. So that what's the proviso regarding that first free roll?
The proviso is that you are still in the tournament by the time the free roll goes off, I guess. But here's
That's
the thing,
seven
James.
7 hours, James. That's here's seven the- full hours. Not to put you under pressure there, Hartigan.
No, it's a dinner break, I believe. And the dinner break is early on the day. It's like at 4 p.m. or something. So
I only have to last
good.
4 hours.
Yes. But here's one other thing. I've arranged for you to have two buy-ins. So, there is absolutely no way you should make it to day two, considering you can buy in directly on day two. So, you've got not one, but two bullets in the Irish Poker main event. But wait, there's even more.
No,
if James
stop.
Makes it to the money on day three at 7 p.m. BST on the 9th, there will be a $25,000
okay.
free roll.
I think we now may be dealing with false hypotheticals. But all I will say is I have never played any tournament at any buy-in level where I've had any intention of ever firing more than one buy-in. So it's going to be, I don't know, what do you do, Fenton? If you're in that situation, do you treat that first bullet as a bit of a kind of
build
like
a
take
stack,
risks
bro.
And gamble?
Yeah.
I would just play it the way you normally play it. And if it you have the insurance that if it goes wrong, you can jump in at the start of day two.
Okay. So I have three things to say. First of all, Joe, you are 2 for 2 in your campaigns. In my favor this year. You won me an award and you got me to play the Irish Open. I should be paying you as my full-time hype man. Secondly, obviously, I'm very grateful. It's a fantastic opportunity.
You can't afford to pay me because they're not going to let you keep any of the money. I should make that abundantly clear.
I could have guessed. But I'm still excited to play and really looking forward to it. I'm not going to lie. I am actually already shaking. At the prospect of playing on a feature table. That's just, I never get nervous before a broadcast, but being on the other side of the camera, being under the spotlight, that is a lot of pressure.
You're not nervous for something you're very good at and a little more nervous for something that you don't really have a lot of practice at, and I totally understand that. Look, everyone knows you're a nit. I don't think anyone's going to fault you for being at least a pre-flop nit.
I mean, ultimately, they're basically going to find it me playing poker incredibly boring because there will be 95% folding going on. But yeah, so that's going to be a thing. And obviously, the free roll thing sounds great, by the way.
So,
and I hope I can go as far as I can possibly go to maximize the PokerStars budget.
I've got a quick little TNC type of thing for the free rolls. So we really want the free rolls to be for the podcast and stream viewers only. So the passwords aren't going to be released until 15 minutes before the tournament starts every day, meaning the free roll tournament. And late reg will only be for 15 minutes after the tournament starts. So you're only going to have a 30-minute window to enter. So please be listening to the broadcast. Be ready for that password. And good luck, James. We're all counting on you.
Oh, my God. I should say I've studied the schedule because I was looking at like putting together a commentary rotor, which I'm now going to have to rewrite. And these are long days. So, I mean, what are you going to do? And again, I don't like dealing in false hypotheticals. What if we get to like day two and both Griffin and I are still in? It's going to be you and Nick holding down the fort for a 12-hour day?
Me and Nick, me and Fenton, me and
no problem
Spraggy,
at all.
Michael Ian Black. I told everyone that for James Hartigan to get to play this event, I will burn all the steam I can. And I knew that other people would come to our aid.
100%.
Thank you, Fenton.
I mean, I just thought this was one of your pipe dreams, like the bubble-less tournament that had basically kind of gone nowhere and had been forgotten about. I was not expecting this. I did not expect to be on a bloody feature table.
Yeah, buddy.
Okay. Well,
Now we can put the spotlight on Fenton for a second.
Yes,
we'll take
absolutely.
The spotlight off of James.
Fenton, you are our guest.
I've never seen you flustered before, Hartigan. Never once in a broadcast, podcast, anything
know,
along those lines.
I know.
I've never seen you sweating.
Normally, this is... Again, Joe, this is some Freaky Friday shit. I'm normally the one who pulls out the surprises and gives away platinum passes like Oprah Winfrey. You don't get to normally do this. And it is incredibly rare that anything happens on one of my broadcasts that I don't know about.
This was very difficult to pull off because James didn't even know all the things I had to say right there. He's like, I don't... It's not in the running order.
I'm like, Joe's gone off script. Joe's staying stuff that's not written down. Are we 100% sure that this has been verified, checked?
We are back on script now, Fintan. Don't go anywhere. Pressure's on you now because it's time for one of my stupid games.
Okay, let's have it. I'm not good at any game, so okay at poker, terrible at everything else.
This one's going to combine two things that you're hate: my stupid games and jokes about your last name. Because
perfect, perfect.
This game is called the Hand for Hand Jobs, and this is a trivia quiz about jobs you do with your hands.
Loving the tenuous connection to Fintan Hand. Loving it.
So one type of hand job is a sign language interpreter. Okay? And according to the National Geographic Society, how many different types of sign language are there in the world? Is it 3, 30, 300, or 69? LOLOLOLOL.
300.
There is a different type of sign language for almost every different type of language in the world. There are 300 different types of sign language in the world.
I would have gone really low. Good job, Fintan.
Fintan is one for one. He knows his H for H jobs. Here we go. Question number two. Another type of job you do with your hands is waving in airplanes on airport runways. What is the official name of that H for H job? Is it aircraft marshaller, aircraft facilitator, aircraft expediter, or aircraft courtesan?
I don't know, Joe. What was the first one?
Aircraft marshaller.
I've never heard the word marshaller before, but I'm going to go with that one.
I mean, Fintan. That's what they do. They marshal aircraft.
Yeah. Fintan, you are two for two, pal.
Oh, my God. This is the greatest I've ever done in any test in my entire life. Where is my teachers that said I didn't fulfill my potential now?
Question number three. Well, you got a bunch more to go still. Not time for a victory lap yet.
Yeah,
question
number three. This is like celebrating on the turn when your opponent's got 15 outs.
I love that.
Another type of job involves juggling balls. What are the three basic maneuvers of juggling?
Throw, spin, catch.
No, these are like the three basic moves, like what they call the moves.
Do I need to come up with them? This is not multiple choice.
Still multiple choice. Here we go.
Okay.
Is it the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the cocoon, the chrysalis, and the metamorphosis, the cascade, the shower, and the fountain, or the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria?
The cascade, the shower, and the fountain.
Three for three, Fintan. You're three for three. You really know your H for H jobs. Here we go. Question number four. Sometimes hands are required in a court of law. What is the official name of the job in which courtroom speech is recorded in shorthand?
I could do this without the options. So if you need help, Fintan, come to me.
You can Hector Hart again on this question. Question number four. Here we go. Here are your four choices. Is it a cryptographer, a stenographer, a cartographer, or a pornographer?
What was the second one?
The second was a stenographer.
First was Do I get an ask a friend for this one? Do you get
you
one?
I'll let you Hector a heart again.
Go on, finish.
The answer is stenographer.
You were going to say that anyway, right?
Was that the second one?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Fintan, you're four for four. Here we go. Just three questions left. You're guaranteed a win at this point.
Oh, my God. This is 7 out of 7, or I'm not going home happy at this
point. This is some serious podcast run good before you launch into the Irish Open.
Question number five. Which of these would be a job on hands within a job for hands? Would it be a surgeon performing an arthroplasty, a surgeon performing a rhinoplasty, a surgeon performing a bone osteotomy, or a surgeon performing a vasectomy?
That was the third one.
The third one, a bone osteotomy, is close. That's actually a foot surgery. The hand surgery was arthroplasty. I also would have accepted vasectomy given the sexual innuendo of the name of this game. We've first missed for Fintan. Here we go. Question number six. Auto mechanics oftentimes perform jobs with their hands while also fucking you over. Which of the following diagnoses is the only one where your mechanic's handiwork might not be fucking you over? Basically, which of these is a real thing that can go wrong with your car?
Got it.
Sorry, which is the only one? Which is the only one that is a fake one? Excuse me, I worded this
only
wrong.
Only one of these is fake.
Only one is fake.
Okay, perfect.
Your car needs a new catalytic converter. Your car needs a new starter solenoid. Your car needs a new constant velocity joint. Or your car needs a new bumper valve.
Are you sure there isn't only one legitimate one here?
The third one's fake. The rest are real.
Unfortunately, a bumper valve is the fake one. The other three are real.
A starter solenoid is a real thing.
Correct. I had it replaced when I was in high school.
Wow.
Catalytic converters, I've heard of.
Yes, that's the only one I thought was real.
Same. So what did I get? 5 out of 7, or we got one more?
One more. There's one more.
You're at 4. Don't add points to your score.
Listen, I think I got 5. Maybe it's just seeing the future. Come on, that's this one. I feel confident.
All right, this one's pretty tough. Sometimes a person has to perform an H for H job while lying on their back in a church. How long did it take Michelangelo to complete his job in which he finished all over the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel?
Oh, Joe.
Was it Easter week and my mother is very religious. I'm in so much trouble for this round.
Was it 4 months, 4 years, 4 decades, or 4 skin?
I mean,
I thought it was like 20 years. So
the problem is, even if no one lived for 4 decades back then.
I think did he live till he was like 50 and spend his whole life doing it? Maybe. I don't know. I'm gonna go 4 years.
4 years is correct. Fint in hand.
Five out of seven.
You really do know your hand careers. Great work.
Thank you very much.
I'm glad that we had you crush a game on this show. I hope it didn't eliminate all your run good for the Irish Open.
Well, I didn't know a single answer and I guessed them all, so I do think that I ran quite well.
Let's put it this way. You know you're running good if you draw this fish on your table on day one of the Irish Open.
Hopefully.
Oh man, if you guys are at the same table, that would be
so
sick.
If you want me to reg late on day one, Joe, so that I can be there.
Let's not, you know, artificially manipulate the seat draw or anything.
No, I don't mean that.
No,
way.
He's saying if he wants to come in for commentary.
I see.
If you need someone to ease the burden.
I think on day one C, because Griffin's playing tomorrow.
Yes. Okay.
So I think Griffin is available on day one C. So there'll be three of you on one C. It's more a case if, through some fluke, both Griffin and I advance to day two, that you might be a little bit thin
on
the ground.
But I will take whatever you at any point, Griffin. Excuse me, any point, Fintan.
Easy mistake.
And I will see you in a few hours because I'm very excited to play your meetup game. Thank you very much for getting me in there.
Thank you so much.
Enjoy your epic commute to the Irish Open, Fintan, and I will see you in town tomorrow.
Appreciate it, boys. I'll see you later. Thank you so much.
Well, that is not the only game we are going to play on this week's podcast, because as ever, we're going to close out the episode with a superfan quiz, and we welcome this week's superfan, Carrie Alexander. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, James. It's great to be here.
Hey, Carrie. Look, I got to say that I've seen your tweets and your likes and your favorites and your retweets for I don't know how many years now, but enough that I remember you, that when James said I couldn't get a hold of Carrie on Discord, I was like, I think I know who that is. I went and found some DMs between us. I just want to say I'm a fan of yours. You're always very sweet, very supportive. And I remember you got a white dog in your Twitter avatar. I knew exactly who it was when I saw Carrie Bain.
Oh, that's so nice of you to say that. Thank you. Yes, I do have a white dog.
It is a very, very cute dog. So apart from the white dog avatar, Carrie, what can you tell us about yourself? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from the States. I live in Colorado, and I am a professor at the University of Colorado in Denver.
Wow. All right. Just a quick plug for me here. I know this is supposed to be about Carrie. I'm doing the Vail Comedy Festival in May. If anybody wants to come out, if you got any Vail people, a whole weekend, the last weekend in May. We'll talk about it later, Carrie. Don't worry.
Oh, that's great. I'm absolutely going to go.
What do you teach?
I was going to say, what subject?
Well, I'm in the sociology department, so that's what my degree is in. But I teach mostly research methods and statistics to the ones that are scared. Social science people.
This is the thing that doesn't track. You sound like a very smart person. Why the hell are you wasting your time watching our stuff?
Because you guys are smart, and you know that. You're smarter than most of the average Joes.
Don't tell anyone that.
Yeah. Right.
Is there a lot of, do you work in your poker fandom into teaching at all, or no, those are separate things?
Not really. I think if it's a little difficult, I really do teach people who are very afraid of numbers. So if I was to introduce cards which have numbers and letters on them, I think that they might blow their minds. So we stick to the basic sociological type examples. Yeah.
I have literally no idea what the poker scene is like in the state of Colorado or in the Denver area. So is it just social games with friends? Is there such a thing as a card club in Colorado?
No, there's actually legal gaming. It's a town called Blackhawk and Central City, which used to be an old mining town. And I don't know how many years ago, probably 30 years ago, they legalized gambling up there. And it used to be a 1-100. Well, first, I think it started as 1-5 games and then 1-100. And now it's no limit. So I can play poker whenever I can get up there.
Fantastic. Sadly, being a resident of that state, you can't compete for a real money prize on PokerStars, but we have got plenty of merch for you to play for, including the exclusive Poker in the Ears deck of cards featuring bespoke jacks with myself and Mr. Stapleton's faces on. I haven't sold the prize particularly well, have I? Party Down is the subject of this week's quiz. So just to be clear, Joe banged on about this and you answered the call. You said, okay, you want to do Party Down? I'm down
with Party Down. Yep, I watched it right after Joe said that he'd like somebody to do it. Because I didn't see it 10 years ago. No, I just saw it whenever 2 months ago.
Did you regret your decision, or did you enjoy it as much as I did?
No, I enjoyed it. They were all my people. Those are all a lot of the people that I listen to in comedy and like their shows.
It's such a great show. It really is just phenomenal. Have you watched any of the new season?
Nope. I didn't want to get myself too mixed up.
Fair enough.
Okay, so obviously this then forced Patrick to watch it so that he could compile this quiz, which has 10 questions, including 2 bonus questions. And Carrie, you know the format. You know how it works. I need you to give me a number between 1 and 10.
7.
Always coming 7. Now, this has a bonus attached. Ooh. So Joe, by default, you're going to get question 2, which is the other question with a bonus. What is the name of the host of the Seniors Singles Mixer in episode 3? Multiple
Pepper
choice
McMasters.
Options are available.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, Pepper McMasters.
Don't need the options. Went straight in. Pepper McMasters for 2 points. And the bonus question, who plays Pepper?
Oh, God. I do know she was on Taxi. I can't think of her full name.
You can't steal a bonus, Joe, but if you do know the answer, you can say it.
Hold on. Mary Lou Henner.
It is Mary Lou Henner. So you have a 2-0 lead, and Joe, you get question 2, which is the other question which has a bonus attached. What year did the first ever episode of Party Down air?
2009.
Correct. For 2 points. What month?
Oh, jeez.
It's a Patrick quiz. Don't blame me.
June.
It was March. So we're going to round 2 with a tied game. 2 points all. Any number other than 7 deuce.
9.
Number 9.
Ooh, how dare you.
Which Party Down member wants to start a business called Soup Our Crackers?
Ron.
That is Ron for 2 points. Joe?
Give me question 10, please.
You can't have your lucky number 9, can you?
Nope.
Who is meant to be the guest speaker at the function in season 1, episode 2?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Correct for 2 points. Still have a tied game. What's still available, Carrie? 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, or 8?
1.
What is Henry's famous catchphrase, which apparently features heavily in episode 1?
Are we having fun yet?
Correct for 2 points. Joe, the numbers I just said without 1.
3.
What TV network did the show originally air on?
Stars.
With a Z. Correct for 2 points. We're wrapping through this.
We got a real barn burner, Carrie.
This is.
I know we do. I'm scared.
It was close last week as well. It went to the tiebreaker. Are we going to need the tiebreaker 2 weeks in a row? 4, 5, 6, or 8?
4.
Who eats food off the wrong colored tray in the final episode of season 1?
George Takei.
For 2 points. 5, 6, or 8, Joe?
I would not have gotten 2 points there, Carrie. Good job. 5.
How many total episodes of Party Down are there, including the reunion?
So far, there's 26.
Correct for 2 points. Coming down to the final round, 6 or 8? 8 or 6?
6.
What is the name of the first ever episode of Party Down?
Neighborhood Association.
Would you like the multiple choice options?
Yes.
Is it Willow Canyon Homeowners Annual Party, California College Conservative Union Caucus, Stenheiser Pong Wedding Reception, or Jackal Onassis Backstage?
The first one.
It is the first one for 1 point. So you know what that means, Joe? If you can get this question correct without taking the options, you've won the game.
Okay.
That question is, which episode number is Ron's James Rolfe High School reunion? Now, if you go for it without taking the options and get it wrong, Carrie wins. If you take the options, you could potentially play for the tiebreaker round.
I'll take the options.
Okay. Is it episode 2, episode 4, episode 7, or episode 9?
I thought it was. I almost said episode 20. I'm glad I took the choices. I think it's episode 9.
It is episode 9, which means we are going to the tiebreaker. And Carrie, I'm going to ask you a question. You can either try and answer it, or you can make Joe answer and then take the over or the under. The question is, to a single decimal point, what is this show's current rating on IMDb?
Oof.
I'll pass it on to Joe.
Okay, Joe, what do you want to go for?
I am going to guess it's a 7.2.
Joe's going 7.2. Do you want to go higher or lower than 7.2, Carrie?
Higher.
You were right to go higher. 8.2 is the current rating on IMDb. On the tiebreaker, Carrie, you squeak out a victory, and that means we are going to send you the full complement of Poker in the Ears merch, the mug, the T-shirt, and the deck of cards.
Oh, well, thanks a lot. I love full compliments.
Well, I'll give you another one. We love you. You're the best, Carrie. Thank you for playing.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
It was my pleasure.
All right, my babies, that's just about all the time we've got for this week's show. Coming up next time, what comes after the Irish Open preview show? The Irish Open recap show.
And sandwiched in between, 4 days of live streaming over the Easter weekend. That's Good Friday through to Easter Monday.
Not sure who our guest is going to be on the next episode of this show, but we'll have plenty to talk about next time you hear from us. Maybe, just maybe, we'll be having Irish Poker Open champion James Hardigan on
Joe,
the show.
What did I say earlier on about false hypotheticals? We will have somebody relevant, a finalist, the winner, someone who won our hearts on the live stream. It will be an Irish Poker Open themed episode. And I think there's an Irish theme to the Superfan Quiz next week.
That's right. Next week's Superfan Quiz is Ireland. Trish Howard, who is very keen to meet us in Dublin, will be appearing on next week's show.
Yeah. And because we don't get back until the middle of next week, we're going to record on a Thursday and release on a Friday. So next week's podcast, episode 273, will come out 24 hours later than normal.
In the meantime, get all your well wishes for James Hardigan out on the Discord. The link to our Discord is in the podcast description. Join the conversation. It's the best way to get picked for stuff we do on the show, including Superfan versus Stapes. But that is it. That is all the time we have got for this week's show. Until next time, for James Hardigan, potential Irish Poker Open champion, I am Joe Stapleton. Smell you later.